About 5 o'clock, our procession of 3 cars reached the cemetery and stopped in a thick drizzle beside the gate. First a motor hearse, horribly black and wet. Then Mr. Gatz and the minister and I in the limousine. And a little later, 4 or 5 servants and the postman from West Egg in Gatsby's station wagon, all wet to the skin. As we started through the gate into the cemetery, I heard a car stop, and then the sound of someone splashing after us over the soggy ground. I looked around. It was the man with owl-eyed glasses whom I had found marveling over Gatsby's books in the library one night 3 months before. I'd never seen him since then. I don't know how he knew about the funeral, or even his name. The rain poured down his thick glasses, and he took them off and wiped them to see the protecting canvas unrolled from Gatsby's grave. I tried to think about Gatsby then for a moment, but he was already too far away, and I could only remember, without resentment, that Daisy hadn't sent a message or a flower. Dimly I heard someone murmur, "Blessed are the dead that the rain falls on." And then the owl-eyed man said, "Amen to that," in a brave voice. We straggled down quickly through the rain to the cars. Owl Eyes spoke to me by the gate. "I couldn't get to the house," he remarked. Neither could anybody else. "Go on," he started. "Why, my God, they used to go there by the hundreds." He took off his glasses and wiped them again, outside and in. "The poor son of a bitch," he said. One of my most vivid memories is of coming back west from prep school and later from college at Christmas time. Those who went farther than Chicago would gather in the old dim Union Station at 6 o'clock of a December evening with a few Chicago friends, already caught up into their own holiday gaieties to bid them a hasty goodbye. I remember the fur coats of the girls returning from Miss This or That's, and the chatter of frozen breath and the hands waving overhead as we caught sight of old acquaintances, and the matchings of invitations, "Are you going to the Ordways, the Hersheys, the Schultzes?" and the long green tickets clasped tight in our gloved hands, and last the murky yellow cars of the Chicago, Milwaukee, and St. Paul Railroad looking cheerful as Christmas itself on the tracks beside the gate. When we pulled out into the winter night and the real snow, our snow, began to stretch out beside us and twinkle against the windows and the dim lights of small Wisconsin stations moved by, a sharp, wild brace came suddenly into the air. We drew in deep breaths of it as we walked back from dinner through the cold vestibules, unutterably aware of our identity with this country for one strange hour before we melted indistinguishably into it again.